This is John Costa with Rob Watson, and recording a spotlight on heritage today. We're at the Basement Gallery in Leicester's Adult Education Centre, and we've just come into the end of Doc Photo 8, which is the second exhibition we've had with 11 photographers. Been fantastic, and I've been joined today by Tony. Tony Shelley will be talking to us again a little bit about his own photography, but also he's here as someone I want to comment on what we're going to be talking about now with Bashir. Now, I was here the other day, just minding my own business as I normally do, and Bashir walked past and he was looking at all the photographs. And I said to him, you know, what do you think? Do you like the exhibition and stuff? And he said, yep, I'm a photographer myself. I've got photos from India. I'll bring them in and show you on Friday. And I said, fantastic. If you come in on Friday, you can talk on our podcast. And I'm absolutely delighted that you've joined us today. So thank you very much, Bashir.
Thank you very much for the introduction.
Okay.
So
tell us a little bit about your photography. How did you first get into photography?
Well, I got involved because we had a box camera. My father had a box camera, which was very small. And then, you know, the films were 620, if you remember the numbers, 620. And we used to make photographs. It was one of the rare things. My father was also interested because he was an educationist. So he wanted to capture our young age and this, and he brought us up. So
do you remember having other families that had cameras as well, or was your father quite unique in the fact that he had a camera taking pictures?
We had him, that was the unique. And the next one was me having a Minolta.
Okay, so he kind of passed 66. That love on to you, yeah, of having a Minolta camera.
Okay. I got that in Nairobi. I was one of those fortunate people that I had the opportunity. I applied in the sense I was at the university in the first year, and I applied because I had done French. So they offered a French scholarship for 4 months or 6 months or something like that, and I went to Madagascar. On my way, I saw this. I had a choice of two cameras, a Minolta and an Exacta, German one. Well, you know, being young and all that, I felt the heavy one was nice, you know.
You know. So this will make me popular with the ladies. I'm going to have to take this Minolta camera.
And the Minolta camera was good. It could remove, I could remove that. I mean, no, I couldn't. But the Exacta one was a better one. But because I was new to it and everything, I just got this one. Then I got into this photography thing.
And that's how you got into it?
Yeah.
So, Tony, a similar story for you. How did you get into photography? We've never spoke about this. We speak about your work, but not how you got into it. I think Bashir's just given us an in through his father.
Oh, I think the honest answer to that is I can't remember. But it was round about the mid-1960s. Same thing with Bashir. It was a box camera. And I remember the first photographs I took were in Nottingham of the Red Arrows aeroplanes, but I can't find them. Nothing of those exists. But both the makes of camera that Bashir's mentioned, I've had an Exacta, and at present I've got a Minolta. So I understand. I've looked briefly through your photographs, and I have to thank you for writing the information on the back, because not many families do that. My question is, do you have the negatives to these photos?
I kept all the negatives, but I wouldn't know where they are at the moment. They might be in Africa, because I grew up in Africa.
Right.
And I couldn't come with all those things, because I've got a box,
yeah,
but about 60 by 60,
yeah,
a box full of photographs.
But they are not, they are not just photographs, they are wonderful social documents.
Definitely.
And they show of the time, of looking at the people, their way they dress, their way they look at the camera. They're amazing photographs. Have you ever exhibited these at all?
Never.
Oh, yeah. Such a shame.
Yeah.
Now we've got to talk to you, Bashir, about you need to exhibit these photos. And Tony just said, you know, people need to see these. I like them, the fact that it's not about famous people, it's not just about places, it's about people's lives and what they do.
Well, if the opportunity comes, maybe I might be able to help, but you see, we have to blow them up.
Well, you see, I like them the size they are. Okay. I don't know. That's for me. I think that's the other myth about exhibiting your photographs. It's yes, that if you can find the negatives, you can make one bigger. Mm. But if you've only got those, and display them in those ways.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way then.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, listen, I know for a fact that someone who's organised this exhibition here with Vincey and Rob's support as well, and Tony being one of the exhibitors, that, you know, for us to see these kind of photographs is really important, because as you said, it's social, it's almost like social documentary. So let's talk about your father for a moment. Do you think that, did he take the photographs for himself because they were about the family and he wanted to keep them? Did he send photographs to other people?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. So it literally was, he was taking these photographs for you.
Yeah. Yes. And then let me tell you, you know, that time, this was a big problem, isn't it? And photography was an expensive hobby then.
Yeah.
Because I can remember a 35 film, a roll costs about maybe, let's say, half a pound or something. Mm. And to develop it, it costs you £5.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think we forget, don't we, as modern day photographers, that you can get into film photography and someone discovers film photography like they discover vinyl records, and they sort of talk to you as if like they've invented fire. But that's always been, we've always been keeping ourselves warm with that fire, no matter how much they get excited. But we forget about back then how expensive it was to have a hobby or even treat it as a business. I mean, back to some of the photographs you were talking about 40 years ago, Tony, in Wapping, we were talking about on the previous recording. Even then, printing, developing, not sure whether they were going to come out, contact sheets.
Yeah. Well, back then, I used to convert my small bathroom into a dark room. I think it was the only flat in the block that had an enlarger next to the toilet, which was quite interesting. But even then, you know, it was a case of getting back and putting them in the chemicals, and sometimes it worked, and I'm afraid sometimes it didn't.
Mm.
But coming right up, back to now, that film is very expensive now to use, but I've gone over to glass plates and metal plates and film. But I don't carry cameras like that now because I haven't got the strength to do that. But let me just come back to Bashir's photos. I think the beauty of these is that, I mean, you've got the information there on those little packets. I mean, I would exhibit those packets as well as the pictures, because it's all part of it. They are amazing photographs.
It's the ephemera that goes with it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, like an old box. People go, I've thrown the box away and I've kept the roll of film that I found that was old, that was in this box. I'm like, oh no. Like, you keep the box as well. It's all part of it, isn't it?
Well, when my grandmother died on my father's side, I was handed a shirt box with all the old photographs in of my family. And I haven't got the shirt box, but I've still got the pictures. And yeah, maybe that's an idea for the future, exhibiting them as they are.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah, a box of stuff, how you find them. It fits really well, interestingly, with the sort of Saturday heritage fairs that we run here. Because I remember when Paul Vernon, one of our exhibitors, was saying to me, look, you know, I've got all this kind of eclectic mix of stuff, CDs, DVDs, VHS, photographs, books, annuals, a whole kind of thing that he's got in his Vortex Museum. And he was saying, I'm not sure how to display it. I said, well, bring it all in a box and just tip it on the table and say to people, come and help me. How would you categorize this? What would you come up with? What do you think this is? And I think that's the thing that's important when you've got photographs. To you, they have immeasurable value. To us, we're looking at it from the perspective as a pure photographer like Tony, whereas Rob and I, we're thinking it from a communications, how it's used to talk about the past and people. And then also it's about, you know, a historic moment that gives you an opportunity to benchmark a time and a place.
I would put in something of my own, in the sense that, you know, photography whether it's for homely done or professionally done, is like writers, like Shakespeare. He wrote books. He had the capacity of writing. We have the capacity of capturing photographs, which is more sort of relevant in the modern society as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how other people look at it. Some people might say, it's pictures, you know. We are not allowed to take pictures. Some people will say, people worship pictures. I mean, we are not worshiping pictures. We are passing on the history and the society's good characters. I mean, the photograph is going to tell you whatever I am or whatever you are to me. And I'm not going to look at the negative side. I'll just look at what is positive in front.
So Bashir, I want to talk about one photograph in particular that I found going through your items, which is two gentlemen next to a building. And there's one rather handsome chap sitting on a horse. Who is that?
That's me.
Yeah, that's you sitting on the horse.
That's me sitting on the horse.
Now,
and that was the first time in my life sitting on a horse.
Fantastic. So it says in 1967, 68. So I was born in 66, which is 59 years ago. So this is 57, 58 years old, this photograph. So, can you remember this photograph being taken?
Yes, I can remember the whole scenario of this and one associated with that also.
So who's the gentleman that's in the photograph with you?
Well, he's my cousin.
Okay.
He's passed on.
Okay. So what were you doing in this photograph? Why were you sitting on the horse? Give us a bit of a backstory as to why this photograph was taken.
They thought, you would like to try the horse? I said, well, why not? And I jumped on it. That's all.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Okay. Have you ridden a horse since?
After this, once, and a real horse, what I mean by, I took it for a ride with a group, youngsters waiting in the village, same place. I sat on it and I went out of the village about maybe 3, 4, 5 miles, and then I said, now I'm far enough, you know. Those people will be worried, have I fallen this? And I was seated on a horse with no saddle, no reins, nothing. I was just holding the hair.
Wow, bareback.
Bareback.
Yeah. Yeah. So how old were you in that photograph?
This is about, I think, 66. I must be 21, 22.
Wow, fantastic. So how old are you now then?
80.
80 years old.
I will be 81 October.
Wow. So how important are these photographs to you when you look at that now?
What does it mean to you? It brings back all the memories.
So this is really the value of photographs, isn't it? It's about...
And then you're passing on culture at the same time. You know, people today think, you know, we are human beings. We have one culture, the good and the bad. That's all it passes on here.
So when you think about photographs like that, if we were sitting here having a meal and we were looking at these photographs and we had some music playing in the background, it's able to take people back to a time and a place that they can recall. It's all those things that will help with that memory, isn't it?
Yes, it helps. You told me this and I brought it and you saw me working there putting all the... things, it has come back.
Yeah. So Rob, this is what we were talking about, weren't we? And you mentioned earlier was about, you know, and Tony mentioned it, Ibrahim, Bashir writing the things on the back of the photographs and how important it is in order to kind of use that kind of documentary evidence.
Well, it's a process, isn't it, of I suppose that there's a word I'm using a lot at the moment, which is kind of percolation, is that you take the photographs and then you reimagine them and you look at them and then you put them into a different order and then you think of something about them and you note it down and it changes your idea of it creates your memory in a way. It creates an idea What for you, what's the idea that these, when you look at them across groups of these photographs, what's the kind of idea that you think it brings to mind? What would you explain to somebody of the, you know, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, what would you explain to them about what was important?
The important was, you know, the humanity part of it, you know, bringing people, different people together, man.
Just explain to us a little bit about the context. So when were they taken? Where were they taken? Because you said there's different places involved. Yeah. So just explain to a little bit about the story and how you've gathered them together.
Right. Look, humanity has developed and people go for what we call, you know, livelihood to different parts of the world. Some are forced to go, some choose to go, but they don't know everything. So they have to experience it firsthand. They go through difficulties. Hard times are there. But today's world, our young people don't understand the hard times the old people went through to give them that silver spoon they have today.
So this is John Costa with Rob Watson, and we're recording a spotlight on heritage today. And we've been joined by Bashir, who's looked at the exhibition here at Doc Photo 8 in the basement gallery of the Leicester Adult Education Centre a couple of days ago. And we got in conversation, didn't we, talking about photography and how old we both were and the value of black and white photographs and stuff. And you brought in a selection for us to have a look at here. So when you came to England, is photography something that you continue to do yourself?
No.
And why is that, would you say?
Let me tell you, I just happened to take a photograph on my camera, on my phone, and then I overheard somebody. Oh, you know, his looks, you know, the Asian version is not very compatible to what I'm talking to you about. You appreciate that. But there are people who are not educated, or they think they are more educated. But because I see somebody, they feel that my eyes are bewitching people, you know.
Because we still have this thing, don't we? Which is like you hear these stories about, you know, documentary photographers, social documentary photographers going around the world, and people that think that the camera is capturing your spirit and things like that. So it's that kind of local context and kind of being aware of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. And then people who are not educated are the first people to be attacked in this, because the third person, as far as I understand, you yourself, you've got right and wrong in your mind. And there is obviously, we are created in such a manner that we always have one enemy. We have one enemy, which you people call Lucifer. And he directs you, distracts you from the main line. And this is where the problems lie.
Wow. So photographers are not necessarily aware of who they're photographing, or, you know, they're doing it for themselves, but also the impact or someone's belief system when it comes to photography. So let's just pick up on some of these. You've got some others here as well, which are like
these are
colour,
my brother.
Colour ones, yeah.
My brother's.
So where were these taken,
these
ones?
All these are in the UK.
Okay.
1966, 67, 68, okay. Something like that.
And what city is this one?
I think, if I'm not wrong, I haven't written, but Bradford.
That's in Bradford, yeah. Okay. I mean, who's this handsome chap here?
He's my brother, second brother, who is also retired. He's in the West Indies. He's a double graduate from the University of Sheffield in electronics and electrical. And that's him.
And that's him there as well.
Looking at this. This is my youngest brother. He's in Portsmouth.
Looking incredibly smart, I must admit. Again, they capture in a time. I mean, that shot behind him, Sykes. It looks like Sykes. I can't tell without a sort of magnifying glass. But, you know, I mean, does that still exist, Rob? I mean, look at that photograph there.
You want a
there.
Magnifying
does,
glass?
Does it? Does it? Yeah, are you? Have you carrying a magnifying glass? There we go. Does that say Sykes, Rob? There we go.
We're, I, we're,
We're doing an
I would need to put my glasses on.
Pass it here. We're doing an interactive session here as well. Yeah. It looks like Sykes's snack bar or something like that. So you just think to yourself, you know, does that still exist? There's someone that ran that shop. There's someone that worked in that shop. Yeah.
And there was a period in the kind of early 60s, late 50s when people were very smart. And you look at images of George Martin with the Beatles, and he used to wear a suit. And that was very prevalent then, you know, kind of it was, you know, I wish I could be that smart. And that was probably on a summer's day as well. It's probably as hot as it is today. And, you know, you're in a suit with a tie and shirt.
Yeah, and it's kind of, this guy going out and being very kind of smart and presentable and stuff like that. It's not necessarily, you know, we're very casual and dress how you want there, isn't it? So these photographs show you a period of time where fashion was very important and, you know, looking a certain way, being quite particular. And I think it's interesting, you know, Tony was talking a lot about, you know, whopping and events and stuff like that, whereas this is very much about people and fashion and a sense of place, whether you're in the UK or whether you're, you know, back home in India before you've travelled.
Right? Yeah, and it, you know, a photo, an archive or a family archive of photographs can tell you about the relationships, but also about the time and the culture. You know, it's not just house clearance, is it?
So you've now passed me another photograph, Bashir, which is an old Polaroid. This is a Polaroid sort of size, feel, and probably smell that I remember as being a young person when my Uncle Ken first had a Polaroid camera and kind of impressed us all one Christmas. And it's a picture from Bombay. It's in colour as well. And it's not really degraded either as well, which is quite cool. So tell me who's in this photograph, yeah?
My uncle, who is in the white beard, his wife is next to him. The third person, I don't know, because this photo was taken maybe when they got married or they went for whatever they had to go for. It was taken in Bombay, gateway of India, opposite the Taj Mahal Hotel. And if you know the history of Taj Mahal Hotel, I could tell you, the hotel is facing the seafront, but the front of the hotel is on the other side, not this side. And the person who I heard, he committed suicide.
So one of the things you've got here as well, Rob, is you look at this photograph as well, is you can't write on the back.
Yeah.
Because it's black from the way that Polaroid is processed. So you've had to write on the front. And when you see exhibitions, it's always writing on the front of a Polaroid, whereas all the other photographs, the writing's on the back.
And yeah, I mean, a tool in things like film production for Polaroids are still used for when costume fittings in the theatre and things and you know, the music context, concerts and things, when the fashion, the costumes are fitted because it gives a record, an immediate record of how things were, you know, set up so that you can go back to it. It's a record, but the writing on the front is as important, yeah.
Yeah, sort of taking you back to a place and a time that you're able to recall. And I think this is what, for me, you know, since my dad passed away last year, you know, we're going through all the family photographs and stuff. My mum's going through and, listen, my mum's the patriarch of the family now, you know, or the matriarch of the family. If she can't tell you who's in that photograph, there isn't anybody older. And you just said there, you know, there's your people that you know, but you don't know who the third person is. Well, the chances of us ever finding out, unless you were to ask the family, if it's not a family member, we'll kind of never know.
Maybe, you see, the person who is there is a friend of my uncle, you see, or on the side of his wife. So I can't, because I've never met them. I mean, I've never met him. I've met the other two.
So would you like to have an exhibition? I mean, if the opportunity existed, would you put some of these up with some context and maybe a photograph of you with holding your photographs and stuff? Because I'd like to host that here if you're interested in doing it sometime.
Sometimes, yeah, definitely, if time allows.
Well, I think also the fact that we just met,
yeah,
completely,
I know,
randomly, and we struck up a conversation, didn't we?
Yeah,
through photography.
Not just, I have a habit. People call me, you got a gap, you talk too much, man. Yeah. So unfortunately or fortunately, I did the right thing at the right time.
Have you heard of that term, Rob? Gift of the gab? He's got the gift of the gab. He's always talking.
Yeah. Is that an East End thing?
Must be. He's got a gift of the gab, isn't he?
Yeah.
Majority of our people, they want to say, keep quiet. Yeah. I mean, respect is not keeping quiet. It's talking. You intermingle, you talk maturely, you understand the other person, you talk. If you are not in his wavelength, you can tell him nicely.
Well, there's a thing that it's kind of reflecting on this has been useful for the discussion, is that we spend so much of our time, modern society is about thinking, and we don't do a lot of feeling. Is kind of, how does this fit? It's not necessarily about what the emotions are, but it's how does this accord with us? You know, is it something that we value? Is it a judgment that we are, and you can only access that through discussion, conversation, reflection. You have to step back from your thinking and you have to appreciate something and contemplate and reflect on it. And that element of tapping into that in terms of photography and exhibiting and conversations like this, I know we need to have many more of these kind of conversations and encourage people to talk about their records and their collections of what they've got. To explain what those feelings are.
So in this final section, thank you for joining us, Bashir. I really appreciate it, sharing your personal photographs of us. How does it make you feel just talking about something that is, to you, is just very personal? You're showing me black and white photos and colour photos to Rob and I of your family. So to you, they're important, but to the outside world, do you think they're not important? Are you surprised that we're interested?
I'm not surprised, because you have got the same wavelength as I have. You want to project, you want to tell people we are a humanity and we are good or bad. Where do you want to fit in? It's up to you. This is what the message I would like to give people. Therefore, whenever I move, no matter what color he is or what personality, he smiles or she smiles, I talk to them.
Yeah.
Especially I have a reservation when it comes to ladies, because I don't make the first move. They must make the first move.
I'd just show them this photo of you on a horse. I think that's just probably that would work every time, I think. You know what I mean? Look at you, sporty, and you're prepared to go off 5 miles in one direction before smartphones came on, you know, be able to track you and stuff. So, I mean, Rob, is these kind of photographs, do they remind you of your childhood growing up? And are photos something that your mum has?
The wedding photograph, my mum and dad didn't have any wedding photographs. They got married in a registry office and in Liverpool, and nobody had a camera. So there are no photographs of the day. One person had a camera, I believe, but they didn't share the photographs. So it's like there were some photographs taken, but they're not available. And it's like, you know, now our expectation is that everything is recorded down to the last second, nanosecond, capturing the event. And it's like, the danger is with this, with the over-focus on capturing of images, is that it creates a false memory of what the event was. Not what the actual memory was, not what the feeling that went with that.
Yes, I agree with you. It gives a false memory, because photographs have developed. If I show you my marriage photographs, which I have, you'll get a shock. There were 1,000 people in my wedding that time, but because my father was well known, he was a teacher, and that time education had value. So wherever he was invited, he had to invite them. So we had to get that many people.
Hence 1,000 people at your wedding.
Yeah. Because we did print out about 1,000 cards, I believe. At that time it was not expensive. But from 3 countries they came from. Zambia, that's my place. Malawi and Zimbabwe all came.
Family, friends?
Not family. All friends. Yeah. Family, my wife's family and my family were the only close family, that's all. Mm. Because I married in my family, in the sense my mother and my wife's mother were sisters.
Mm. It's a different time, isn't it? It's just valuing photographs and boxes of photographs and bits like that. Well, listen, Bashir, thank you very much for taking the time to stop and look at the exhibition, firstly. Secondly, for engaging me in conversation. And thirdly, for coming today and bringing your photographs. And please take some more time to write on the back of them. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll stay in touch. And maybe what we'll do is we'll get you back on the podcast in a couple of months' time when you've had a chance to annotate a few more photographs and think about what it is that you would show. So maybe we could do a conversation with Rob and I talking about how do you decide what you're going to show. So that's great. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure meeting you both.